Here this morning, we had a good crop of folks first service and a good group here this second service. And how many is enjoying all this wonderful, wonderful rain? Amen. Amen. Doesn't it beat smoke all to pieces? You know, I don't know if you have your bulletin or you read your bulletin, but I was riding the pastor's pen Friday and looking for some information, you know, on how much precipitation we've been getting. So I looked on the IR's website and they didn't have anything. And I called the Helena Chamber of Commerce and I said, I have a strange question for you. And she said, well, shoot. She said, I get strange questions every day. And so I said, how are we doing precipitation wise here in the Helena Valley? And she said, that's a strange question. I've never. Anyway, she said, call Forest Service. And so I called Forest Service. I just kind of wanted some statistics to put in the bulletin here. And the Forest Service didn't really know. And I said, well, what's your opinion? And he said, well, my opinion is it's better than it was last year. So anyway, but it is good. Amen. And Will tells me he saw the weather bug or something. I guess the next 4 days we got more showers in front of us. And with every raindrop, it means green grass, beautiful flowers, you know. Yeah, it's just great, great moisture, and the creeks are flowing. And I believe with all my heart that God is doing that here at Last Chance Chapel as well. You know, I grew up singing, there shall be showers of blessings. This is the promise of love. There shall be seasons refreshing sent from the Savior above. Showers of blessings we need. Mercy drops around us are falling, but for the showers we plead. And that's kind of been the theme here at Last Chance Chapel, because we've been going through the book of Acts and asking the Lord for his fresh outpouring of his Spirit. As it was in Acts, to pour out his Spirit afresh and anew upon Last Chance Chapel. And Peter talked about this when he was preaching in Acts chapter 3. Peter talked about the times of refreshing that shall come from the presence of the Lord. And so this is what we've been focusing on here at Last Chance Chapel, this refreshing that comes from the presence of the Lord. And once again, just to put in a plug, you know, something is happening. It really is, and there's a new sense of his presence, and we're going to talk about that this morning. But it's been beautiful on Sunday nights because there's no agendas, there's no real schedule, but just a time of seeking the Lord, and the Lord has he seems to smile on that, and so actually, Ann Wilson will be leading us in praise and worship tonight. She's in Lincoln, Montana right now, leading the church in Lincoln, Montana in praise and worship. So pray for her. Amen. And so, but let's pray because we want God to speak to us this morning. Lord, this is all about you. And Lord, we're just like little children who've gathered around the Father's table. You are Heavenly Father, and we're asking you, Lord, to nurture us and to feed us with your word. But Lord, we are also asking you to help us tune in to your presence here, because you have promised to be here, and we thank you, Lord, that you do not lie, but Lord, you uphold your word, and so we know that you're here this morning. Speak to us, we pray, by your Spirit, and help us, Lord, to be refreshed, Lord, in these times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. We thank you for it, and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, because we've been focusing on, the presence of the Lord and the fullness of the Spirit, Glory and I have spent a lot of time after church on Sundays, and Wednesdays and during the week, talking about some of these cliches we have. And so, for example, when I asked Ann Wilson, it was just kind of a cliche. I said, Ann, hey, Ann, would you lead us into the presence of the Lord on Sunday night? And she said, sure. Well, I got to thinking about that. That's really not scriptural. Because the Bible says that we have the presence of the Lord with us at all times, especially the Christian. In Psalms 139, which is a favorite psalm of so many people, David said, where shall I go from your spirit? If that was David who wrote Psalms 139, where shall I go from your spirit, or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you're there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there thy hand shall lead me and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hides not from thee, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike unto thee. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. And I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. So we know from this scripture, this passage, that there's nowhere we can go to flee from the presence of the Lord. Matter of fact, Jonah, if you remember the Sunday school story, the true story of Jonah, who was commissioned by God to go preach to those dirty, rotten, no goods in Nineveh. And Jonah said, No, I'm not going to do that. And so he went the opposite direction. He boarded a ship and was in the ocean, and the storm came. And the storm came, and it was so rough and so horrible. And finally, even Jonah confessed himself to the sailors trying to keep that ship afloat. He said, I am fleeing from the presence of the Lord. But you can't get away from the presence of the Lord. And so to save the ship, they threw Jonah into the ocean, and a big fish, the Bible says, came and swallowed Jonah. And for 3 days and nights, he was in the belly of that fish. But even there, he experienced, as horrible as an experience that was, the presence of the Lord. The Bible begins in the garden with Adam and Eve hiding from the presence of the Lord after they had sinned. And ever since, the Lord has been weaving history to bring us back into his presence, because God is a God of love. So through Christ, we receive the indwelling presence of the Lord. Those of us who have accepted Jesus Christ into our hearts, we've asked Jesus to come into our hearts and to cleanse us from our sins. The Bible says he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And all those cleansed folks said, amen. All right. Can you hear me okay this morning? Yes. All right. Is it getting hot in here this morning? No. Temperature's just right? All right. Okay. So the Bible says that when we accept the Lord into our hearts, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hallelujah. Amen. And his spirit comes and dwells inside of us. And so we have his presence with us no matter where we go. Now, the beauty of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is that's the overflow. That's where God's spirit just begins to flow through us and flow out of us in a precious and wonderful way. And so the question is, if we have the presence of the Lord and we have this overflow through the baptism of the Holy Spirit, what's the reason we come to church? Worship him. Amen. That's good. Some folks come to fellowship. That's good. Don't you think that's okay? You want to fellowship with good folk because it rubs off on you. Gene Andel is telling me that he was taught, this is interesting, he was taught in sales that five close people you associate with, you become like them. And so my brother used to play in the bars And I'm not knocking the bars on my brother. I'm just saying my brother used to play in the bars. You know, he quit. You know why he quit? He said they're all losers. He said they sit in the same seats. They say the same dirty jokes week after week after week. I tell you what, church is a good place to be. Can you say amen to that? And I'm not knocking those people in the bars. I'm just saying that whoever you associate with, you become like. So fellowship is a good thing. I would also say that coming to be fed the word. You know, you hear people say, well, I go to this church because he feeds me. That's good, but that's not the best. Because, you know, to be honest with you, there's a lot better preachers out there on the radio than you'll hear here at Last Chance Chapel. It's my personal opinion. But there's some really good preachers out there. I mean, there's some good Bible commentators. Come on, guys. I know you're trying to be polite and nice to me, but we know the truth. There's some really good preachers out there. All right. Well, thank you. Thank you. Okay. Nevertheless, the first service, I said, there's a lot better preachers out there than they're here. And Joseph said, amen, real loud. I was kind of waiting for it. I gave him a cue, but he didn't say it. That's okay. It's okay to come if you need to be fed, but it's better to feed yourself. Amen. You know, it's better to be a man and a woman of the Word, daily in the Word. You feed your physical body 3 times a day. Sometimes you feed it more, like, you know, if you're me, you feed a little bit more. But you got to feed your spiritual man. So you need to feed yourself. So why do we come to church? Daniel, hey, you're in the first service. Keep your hand down. Because the place of refreshing is when we come to tune in to the presence of the Lord. See, the Bible says that the anointing is in the cluster. The anointing is in the cluster. The blessing is where the brethren come together in unity. That's where he commands the blessing. Did I lose anybody here? The blessing is when, and where God commands the blessing is where 2 or 3 are gathered together in my name. When brethren come together in unity, the power, see, that fell on the day of Pentecost was when the church united as one heart in song and prayer and the word. Never think that you need time alone from the family of God. That's a destructive thought. That's a destructive thought. People who feel, let me say, the more time you spend alone with God in prayer, the more you'll want to be with the family of God. Every time, it's true. I mean, you look at China. You look at the persecuted church in China. They will risk life and limb. They will risk I told you this before, I'm going to tell it to you again. I was in China in 1987, smuggling Bibles into Shanghai. And I asked the Lord to guide me to an underground church, and he did. The speaker at that underground church was an 80-year-old woman. She had just gotten out of prison. She had been in prison for 27 years. I can't remember exactly. It was 20-something years. She had been in prison for preaching the gospel. When she got out of prison, she immediately went back to the underground church. You know why? Because there's some type of refreshing that comes when you gather together with God's people and you lift up your heart with one voice and one goal, and that's to tune in to the presence of the Lord. Times of refreshing come from the presence of the Lord. In Isaiah 28, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. With stammering lips and another tongue will I speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet you would not. You can be refreshed in a dungeon. Paul and Silas proved that. They had probably rats crawling over them as they were chained in this dungeon, but they began to sing and to praise the Lord, and God showed up. And that's beautiful and wonderful, but I just want to say that was not by choice. They didn't choose to be there. God is into family. God is into family. And where his family gathers in oneness of heart is where he will be. That's where he will, let me say, manifest his presence in a beautiful and a precious way. If you're isolating yourself, this is the way I see it. I'm a father. I have four children. Now I have three. I have four grandchildren. One's due in 10 days, praise the Lord. And there's no greater thrill for me as a father to have all my family together and to watch the camaraderie, to watch the little jabs, you know, to hear them sing and just the sweetness of the fellowship. There's no, you know, what bothers me is if I have one of my kids pouting in the back room. They needed alone time. And you know what I want to do? I want to just make them pout in the back room. because it's a proven fact that when you gather together as a family, the family of God, that there's healing there. You know, doctors tell us this, that there's healing there. The mental illness that takes place in this day and age, some experts say, is due to central heating and air conditioning. Why? Because people go into their room and isolate themselves. And there's something when you gather together, around the fireplace, or you gather together in one central spot and you fellowship. Amen. God, that's where the anointing is. That's where the blessing is. And I just want to say to you this morning that that's one way you can experience the refreshing of the Lord. And if you need a refreshing from the Lord, get into the family of God. The Bible says, let us, circle the word us, let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto the Lord. So we come together to seek the Lord as a church family. And I encourage you, it's okay. I want to say it again. It's okay to come for the fellowship. It's okay to come to be fed. Nothing wrong with that. It's okay to minister, to come to minister. But that's not the goal. The goal is to tune into him. The goal is to touch him, to get to that place where the refreshing, the times of refreshing come from the presence of the Lord. Again, I want to say, you can experience God in the mountains. I have, you have. There's nothing, but if you spend all your times in the mountains in isolation, you're going to be the most miserable, wretched person in the world. Because you need the family of God. That's the way God created the family. That's the way he created the DNA of the family. That's the way he created for us to experience this time of refreshing from the Lord. The other one is the other way to receive this time of refreshing from the presence of the Lord is to change your understanding about the presence of the Lord. We've already touched on it, but I want to say it again. To be aware that as a Christian, you have him with you no matter where you are. You have him with you. If you are that drunk in that bar, he's with you. He may be grieved. He may be grieved that you're allowing yourself to be intoxicated or that you're, allowing this influence on your life. He may be grieved, but he's with you. I want you to know he's with you when you go to sleep at night. He's with you when you wake up in the morning. He's with you when you go to that good job or that foul job, whatever kind of job it might be. He's with you. And he's ready to. And there's this mentality of being aware is a much emphasized word in Scripture. It's a precursor to our salvation, actually. Is to be aware that you're a sinner. To be aware that, you know, that unless you have Christ in your life, that your life is futile and void and empty, and that you're going to spend eternity without him. That's the prerequisite to being saved. Is to know that you need a Savior. To be aware. The precursor to living in the presence of God is to be aware that you're not there yet. Being aware is one of the most important things, I believe, in our lives. These days, my hearing, as well as my seeing, is getting challenging. And because of that, there's some little nuances that are influencing my life. I'm unaware of the little nuances in family conversation. And things aren't quite as clear as they used to be. And I remember the idiosyncrasies of my grandparents, you know, because they would have egg on their chin or dribble the food, you know. You know, I'll never forget my dad when he was dribbling food down his head. He said, "Mike, look like an old man." I said, "Dad, you are an old man." You know? And now it's happening to me, Lord. It's happening to me. And I don't even know what's happening to me because things are getting, I'm becoming more and more unaware until I see strange looks on my kid's face when I realized I asked him the same question 4 times in a row. The Bible says, though our outward man perish, our inward man can be renewed. Day by day. And I'm so glad that being aware of his presence has nothing to do with my failing faculties. That you and I can be so in tune with the Lord that we can experience a freshness of his presence. We can and be led by his presence in beautiful and wonderful ways. I have often wondered, as I hunt, how many nuggets of gold I have stepped on as I was looking for some stupid deer, you know. Honestly, I've wondered how many $10,000 nuggets I've walked right past simply because I was unaware. And if you take that to the spiritual side, think of these golden opportunities that await us by staying in tune with his presence. I think of Peter and John, how it was just another day at prayer, you know. It was, as Marvin Albers would say, it was just another day in paradise. And as they were, and they had a divine interruption. A divine interruption. But because they were in tune with the presence of the Lord, they had tuned in to him. They were listening. They heard that still small voice speak. And because of that, 3,000, or was it 5,000, came to know the Lord. See, church growth, spiritual growth, financial prosperity, it all depends on just being aware to the presence of the Lord and being in tune with that Spirit that's with you always, who loves you and cherishes you. I find it absolutely phenomenal that the God who made the heavens and the earth, The God who meted out the heavens with the span of his hand and holds the waters in the hollow of his hand said in Isaiah, all these things are and all these things have my hand made. But to this man will I look. To him as of a humble and contrite spirit and who trembles at my word. That's the most humbling thing in the world to me. That Almighty God, creator of heaven and earth, loves me so much that he endures my shunning him days at a time. Days at a time. When I just don't acknowledge his presence. I just don't give it a thought. You've heard of the Amish? How they, one of the major things that they, one of the worst things they can do to a family member. Shunning. It's the most horrible shame to be shunned. And yet God endures this horrible shunning experience. The Holy Spirit. Hour after hour, day after day. But in his humility and his love for you, he'll keep doing it. He'll keep doing it in hopes that there'll be a love response and that this relationship of tuning into his presence will grow and grow and grow. The awareness of his presence is one of the most important job descriptions we have as a Christian. Will Parsons, a couple of weeks ago when he spoke, he said that the sin of Israel was that they thought that the Lord, even though the Lord had done all those miracles for them, they doubted that the Lord was with them. They were unaware that the Lord was among them. And so we as Christians, we must get to this place where we give him the opportunity to be involved in whatever we are doing or whatever we are planning. As Christians, it's not just a Sunday morning thing and we can put him on the shelf. With Christians and our Christianity, it's a daily living. That's why Paul said, I pray daily. Or, you know, pray without ceasing. It's because it was this constant communion. And it's not like, you know, give me this, give me that. You know, help me do this or help me do that or change this or change that. It was just an abiding. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. It's this abiding in the presence of the Lord that the Lord is encouraging us to pursue with all our hearts. It gives him the opportunity to be the head of our lives, the head of our house, and gives us the opportunity to give him honor. Do you know, folks, that you and I, when we asked Jesus into our hearts, we sold our life to him? The Bible says we've been bought with a price, that you're not your own. Do you know that now you are the temple of the Lord? You're his dwelling place. And the Bible says that you have inside of you his presence. Therefore, you have inside of you fullness of joy. You say, wait a minute, John. You're crazy. I struggle with an emotional roller coaster. Well, you may. And we all do. But there's a place you can get into in the presence of the Lord. You don't have to come to church on Sunday. You can get into it in your darkest closet where that sweet presence of the Lord will bubble up inside of you. In his presence is fullness of joy. The Bible says in his presence there's liberty. There's a freedom that comes from the presence of the Lord. This sermon could go on forever because scripture after scripture after scripture tells me that where the presence of the Lord, there's power, there's victory, There's authority. There's these wonderful elements we want in our lives. Can you say amen? And we have it. We have His presence. We just need to tune into it. This morning, in the first service, I don't know why, but it took me a little bit. See, let me back up and say, in this room, if I had a radio, I could change the channel from channel to channel. I'm sure there's a rock station, hard rock station here in Helena, Montana. Any hard rock fans? All right. Lord deliver you, brother, in Jesus' name. And I could turn that dude up, and man, I could blast this church out. We could rattle the chandelier, and we would set a atmosphere. Or I could switch the channel and come to your cheating heart and completely take the atmosphere in a different direction. Or I could switch it again. You know, Bach, Beethoven, ugh. You know, sorry, guys. Or I could switch it again, and I could get it to Christian, and different flavors of Christians, or the oldies but the goodies. Well, when we come into the presence of the Lord, where we're two or three gathered together in His name, each one of us have a duty. And that's not to say amen to the preacher, though I appreciate it. It is to tune in to the Lord. And I don't know why it took me a little bit longer the first service. But when we began to sing that song, Hallelujah, it was like bingo. And God just began to speak to me. And I felt His presence. And I felt a little bit embarrassed because I was doing this a whole lot. But it was refreshing. It was the refreshing. It was times of refreshing in the presence of the Lord. Will, can we, and Dan and Cassandra, can you come up to the... Today is Communion Sunday. And we have communion once a month. And communion is a way we have of celebrating and remembering the sacrifice of Christ at Calvary, so that we could have this relationship, so that we could enjoy His presence. And so we're going to take communion here in just a minute. And what we'd like you to do is to go ahead and stand up. And as we sing this song, we'd like you to come up and just receive the cup and the bread, and then take it back to your seat, and then we will take communion together. But before you do, though, I want to give you, through this song, are we singing Hallelujah? This song, I want to give you a chance. Maybe you hadn't even dialed in yet. Maybe you're waiting for this preacher to quit so you can go home. But I want to give you a chance to dial in right now. Dial in your spirit to the presence of the Lord and say, Lord, I want You. I want You afresh and anew in my life. I know You're here. I know You're with me. I know You saved me. And if maybe there's someone here who's struggling with whether you're saved or not, just ask Him to come into your heart. Wash away your sins and give you a new life in Him. But the Christians, I want you to dial in to the Lord. Let's do it right now. Can we keep playing, Sandra? Lord Jesus, we put aside every care and weight and sin that does so easily beset us. And Lord, we look to You, Lord Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And we ask You, Lord, to pour out Your Spirit upon us afresh and anew. Even though we have Your Spirit in us, help us zone in, tune in to your frequency, hear your voice, be changed by your presence. We open up our spirits and our hearts to you, Lord, and we cry out to you, and we worship you. So take this time, Lord, as we prepare our hearts, Lord, to take communion. Lord, just take this time, Lord, for us to become one with you, Lord. We thank you for it, Lord, and we love you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Go on. Let's sing, and then go ahead and file up and take the cup and the bread and take it back to your seat, and we'll take together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We love you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Father, we thank you, Lord, for this ultimate sacrifice of Jesus Christ, Lord, who left heaven, came to this earth, dwelt among us, Lord, and suffered a cruel death, Lord, for one reason only, and that's to give us justification by faith. That's to wash away our sins and restore us into a relationship with you, Heavenly Father. And Lord, through this broken piece of bread, this little cracker, Lord, we recognize that it represents the broken body of Jesus for our sins. And with humility, Lord, and contriteness of heart, Lord, we thank you for it. And Lord, we receive it, and we receive it into ours, Lord. So let's partake of the bread together. And Lord, we have this cup in our hands, and it represents the blood of Jesus that was shed for our sins. We thank you, Lord, that the scripture says that though our sins were like crimson, Lord, they can become white as wool, Lord, through the blood of Jesus. And we thank you, Father, for the blood, Lord, and we by taking this cup, Lord, and ingesting this grape juice into our bodies, Lord, we want to ingest, we want to receive you, and we want to receive all of you. Lord, we want to receive the fullness of your Spirit. And Lord, we repent, Lord, for tuning you out so often, Lord, and we don't want to do that anymore. Lord, because such powerful, wonderful, life-changing experiences take place in the presence of the Lord. And so by taking this, Lord, we just retune our hearts and our lives with you. In Jesus' name, let's take the cup together. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's sing it together.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Keep playing. We're going to dismiss here in just a minute. But I want to give you an opportunity. You can take it or leave it. You know, one thing the Bible says is lifting up of our hands in worship and praise to the Lord. And I want to encourage you, kind of as an act of trying to find that radio dial, tune into the Lord. Raise your hands this time and sing this song as a love song to Him.
Jesus, You're my Lord. Jesus, You're my Lord.
Yes, You are, Lord.
Jesus, You're my Lord. Jesus, You're my Lord. Jesus, You're my Lord. Jesus, You're my Lord.
Yes, You are.
Jesus, You're my Lord. Jesus, You're my Lord.
You are, Lord, and we love You. And Lord, we'll walk out these doors here. We're going to get in our cars. We're going to drive home. But You promised never to leave us or forsake us. And so we know You're getting in that car with us. You're going to go home with us, no, Lord, no matter what type of atmosphere our home has, whether it's peaceful or divisive, whether it's tranquil or hurtful. You're with us, Lord, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's fullness of joy. So we know You're going to change the environment. We know You're going to change the atmosphere. And Lord, when we go to some of these difficult jobs tomorrow, we go to some difficult workplaces, Lord, with some real foul attitudes, Lord, we thank You. Because greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. And Lord, You're going to change the environment through the presence of the Lord. We love You and we give You praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a clap offering. We love You, Lord. We love You, Lord. Amen. Well, you just go out and you watch. Every footstep you take, there's going to be a spiritual golden nugget somewhere. And I'm going to be looking for it, and I hope you are too. And it may be somebody who's been lame 40 years at the Gate Beautiful. It may be who's going to get healed, or it may be, you know, an attitude that's going to get changed, or life that's going to get changed, somebody's going to get saved. I'm excited. Amen. Because we got the Lord with us. God bless Him. Go get Him in Jesus' name. Amen.